Welcome to the Witchy Spellcast. I'm Kara, joined by Saya and Rowan, your mystical guides. Whether you're a seasoned witch or a curious seeker, join us to explore spellcraft, herbal remedies, and more. Let's embrace the enchantment, unlock secrets, and discover the magic within. Your magical journey starts here. Welcome back, casters. Today is our last winter episode. Woo.
Indeed.
I'm very stoked. I can't wait for spring. I need it. It is snowing and I hate it and I'm dying inside.
I would just like to have more daylight hours.
That would be nice too.
I don't necessarily need it to be like super warmer or anything. I would just like to be able to get home and still have some daylight and it not be dark.
Yeah, I think that's the hardest thing for me in the winter, especially being down in the south. Like, you get so used to all of the sun, and then from like December to mid-February, it's just so dark. Like, I feel like it's really extreme.
Being in Florida, that makes sense.
Yeah, the vitamin D deficiency really hits.
The withdrawal.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, I just popped my neck.
I heard that. Oh my gosh.
Did you hear it too? Hear that? Yes.
Yeah, that came through. Gross.
Oh, I didn't realize it would come through. It felt good though. I mean,
I'm sure.
I'm kind of jealous.
I'm still really achy from yesterday. Like, my body, the shakes that I had last night, like, I'm sore from that.
Mm.
It was terrible. Anyways, so today we're going to be talking strictly astrology, and we're going to be talking all about how to use astrology, like, for your daily life throughout the year. Before I get into it, is there any, like, basic astrology things that you guys think would be necessary to talk about before we go into, like, how to live using astrology?
How do you mean? Basic. Like what your sign is? Like,
maybe? Like,
no, mostly we're going to be focusing on just what to expect for the spring upcoming, the next couple months, right?
No, I'm talking about how to use, like, the astrology every day for the year.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking, when the sun is in a certain sign, it's in what house, and this is the house it's affecting, so this is what you can expect to, like, be lit up in your life, kind of thing. I mean, we could talk about the major transits that's happening too, but that's, I mean, we talked a little bit about Pluto the other day, like Pluto moving and everything, and we talked a little bit about Saturn moving back when it did, but, like, those take forever to, like, move through things, so that's, all of those are going to be lit up for, like, years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see a reason to really talk about it. When we're talking about living with astrology, we're talking about following, I have, an actual quote here, hold on, where did I, tracking the movement of the sun throughout the year, the moon throughout the month, and around your birth chart. So it's, like, living with the sun and the moon. And how it's affecting your personal birth chart, right? So, where to begin? Trying to think where to start. What would be a good starting point? What do you guys think would be a good starting point? Because I would ramble. I need to know, what do you think is a good starting point for you? If you were to do this.
What?
If you were to live by astrology, by following the sun, just the sun, let's just talk about the sun, how the sun moves through your astrological chart, what would be the first thing you'd want to know?
I would want to know things that are, like, selfish, like how it's going to affect my love life or my career. Like,
I'm thinking affecting mood.
The moon is mood. I'm going to say this. Let's start here. Let's start with what the sun and the moon represent. Okay.
There you go.
Because those are the ones that, like, the sun and the moon is going to affect you the most. Mercury is going to affect you a little bit. Venus is going to affect you a little bit, whatever. Mars will too, but they have a much, like, they're not going to be as hitting as the sun and the moon is. The sun is what lights you up. So whatever astrological sign the sun is in, it's for a month, a whole month. That's the focus that the sun is shining on for that month. Okay. And what we're looking at is the house that it's in. So obviously for anybody listening right now, if you don't have your birth chart, you don't know your houses, this is a little difficult to do, right? And in order to make a birth chart, you would need your place of birth, your time of birth, and if you want to get exact, you need the exact time of birth, right? So going off of knowing your birth chart, I lost it. Where was I going with this?
You were saying that whatever month it is, month the sun is passing through, that's what it's focusing on, that's what it's lighting up in your chart?
Yeah, okay. So when we think about the sun is all about joy, happiness, light, right? That's what the sun is. But the sun also shines a light on areas that is important at that moment. And if you think about it, this is going to be every year that this is going to happen to you, right? Because the sun moves into Aries the same time every year. And so whatever house Aries is in for you, right, is going to be lit up during that time. So that's when you're going to be most focused on that particular area of your life. That's what's going to light up.
I see. I understand.
Okay. So with the moon, however, the moon rules our emotions, our moods, and that fluctuates so much more than the sun does, right? The sun, it's like 28 days, like 21, 30, around a month. The sun is in the same sign. So it's going to be in the same house for you. And that's going to be lit up. Now the moon, it cycles through signs every 2.5 days. So for 2.5 days, you're going to feel that part of your chart activated. And that sign activated, which can push with your emotions. So if the moon is going to be in a water sign, water also rules emotions. So you can tend to be a little bit more emotional during water sign days than when the moon is in a water sign, right? And you could be a little bit more focused. Like today actually is the full moon in Virgo. Today you might feel a little bit more apt to do stuff, might feel a little bit more organized, might feel a little bit in tune with Virgo energy, right?
And I'm literally taking notes and have plans to do corporate headshots later.
So you're feeling that Virgo energy, but not just that, the moon is also lighting up your personal sun, but that goes so much more in depth. Right now we're just talking about transit sun, transit moon. We're not going to talk about our own personal charts other than the houses, okay? Because that goes further in depth and really confusing for people who are just starting out trying to live this way, right? Trying to be focused this way.
Yeah.
So with full moon today in Virgo, I know Virgo's in my fifth house, which is the house of creativity. So I would see more of that structural, organizational energy in my creative aspects, which is really funny that we're recording on a full moon in Virgo day in my case, and that I'm the one doing the episode, because this is very much Virgo in my fifth house, like organized creativity. Like, and I'm actually organized for once today when it comes to notes, because I've got my books out.
Heck yeah.
So you can feel that. And also, when you're looking for mood specifically, I know, Rowan, you wanted to know, like, how to track mood with this, right? And so you're going to look more at the moon. What you want to see is what houses, what signs do you see a downshift in? Now, you might not automatically know this based off of your chart. You might not.
I do not.
So the best way to do this in general is starting on the new moon of a month, track how you feel each day, right? And then whenever you get to the next new moon, you can look and see, okay, I was up when we were in Leo. And then you do that again and then compare the 2 months, because you're going to go through those signs an entire cycle in a month with the moon every 2.5 days. So once you have like a like 2 or 3 months that you've actually like labeled your ups, downs, and everything with your mood and compared it to the sign that's in, you can also look at the house that it's in as well to see, okay, well, when the moon is in Leo, I know I'm feeling good. And that's because Leo's in this house and I'm really feeling that, right? So you can expect, and then you could in turn look down at like your schedule and say, okay, well, I know next month the moon is going to be in Leo on these days. I need to schedule a doctor's appointment that day because I feel good. I know I'm going to feel good, right?
I was just about to say, like, that would be an easy way to schedule things that you know you can or cannot do emotionally around.
Yes. Absolutely. And that's the beautiful part about that.
To be motivated, like, and when to plan to do this thing, to be motivated and do it.
Yeah. And you can go even further with that with cycle syncing. Because if you're, because as a female who bleeds, you have the same shifts as the moon, right? So if you're trying to sync your cycle, that also plays into it too. But if we're just looking base level, you're just looking at where the moon is at every 2.5 days to see what that mood level is going to be. Right? Makes sense so far?
Yeah.
Yeah, so far.
Okay. So with the moon, it's like a more of a daily thing. But with the sun, it's more of a monthly thing. And I really enjoy looking at what the sun is in. Personally, because that gives you a focus for the month, right? That's like a focus on, like, you could go so far as like, this is my goal focus for the month, because I know that this is the area in my life that the sun is going to be highlighting, and it's going to be really important for me. It's going to be in the forefront, this area and these energies. So I need to make a goal around this. So that's one way to do it. And that's a very Virgo thing to say.
That is.
So I'm really riding the Virgo moon energy right now.
Again, page 3 of my sticky notes.
So
I can't help it. It's helping me concentrate.
Well, that's, I mean, hey, if it helps, right? So
yeah,
let's talk about what the houses are, right? Because I've said houses multiple times. I've said it a couple times sprinkled in here and there. So we always start with the first house, and that is the sign of your rising, always. So whenever the sun is in your rising sign, you are in your first house. That is your personal, it's your personal spring, right? It's because the first house is associated with Aries. Aries is the first day of the astrological year, right? So when the sun is in your first house, you are coming up with a really big, like, reawakening. Your energy should be lifting. But it is all about yourself, your self-identity. That is the first house. And whenever the sun is in it, you become the main focus. You are your main focus during the transit in your first house. So you are focused more on yourself and how you feel and what you need at that moment. That's going to be a big highlight for you. It's a perfect month to do some self-care for yourself, to work on mental health, work on any kind of health, because you're focused fully on yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Make sense?
Yes.
If at any point I do not make sense, please tell me, because my words sometimes get crazy.
I also pulled up my chart book that you made for me, so I'm like following with it.
Some of these things are in your chart, but like the little charts that I made you guys. So this is just a little bit more in depth. So the second house is your house of resources, values, money, and also pleasure, ease, simplicity. It's all about your personal resources, money, possession, values, and skills. And whenever you're seeing a transit in your second house, it could impact your finances. It could impact your personal values. It could also impact, like, pleasure and stuff like that, right? So when the sun is in that place, that's really honestly a good time to maybe refocus your budget, refocus finances, think about whether or not you're making enough money or if you need to save money back or anything like that. That's a good time to really focus on that because the sun's highlighting that area of your life. It's also a good time, like, values can be more than just what you have. Values can be like personal values, like what do you personally hold dear, like I value creativity kind of thing, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like that could be a good time to refocus on what you value too. So not always is it going to completely impact money. It could impact values instead, right? Because it is multifaceted. It is ruled by both Taurus. No, it is a Taurus-ruled house. So it's ruled by Taurus, so it has those Taurus energies. And it's also ruled by Venus, so it has those Venus energies as well. Okay? So, I like to think of it as, more of a pleasure-seeking kind of thing. Because Taurus is pleasure-seeking in a way, and so is Venus in a way. Like, it's just depending on where it's at. Let's see here. All right. Our third house is our house of communication. It's also curiosity. It's a social house. It can also rule mental activity, your immediate environment, learning, siblings. And whenever a planet transits your third house, it can show you where your mental focus is currently and how you're connecting at the moment. So wherever you're at, mental-wise, they say that it's a really good time whenever the sun is in your third house, it's a good time to write, because it is, the house of writers. So, if you need to write something, third house is a good time to think about it because it's about communication. If you're trying to network, that's a good month to try to really get networking out because, again, communication, right? Do. All right. We going strong so far?
Yeah.
Not even so halfway far, so through. Good. So far, so that's good.
We are a quarter of the way.
Yeah, we are a quarter of the way. All right. So the fourth house is the house of home and family, of ancestors, of what you nurture. It's ruled by Cancer, which is the nurturing, the mother, right? So it's also rules like your parents, in particular, your mother rather than your father. It is the female, and I'll get to what the male aspect is because there's a yin yang. Always with any of the signs and any of the houses, there is a yin yang, and I'll talk about those polarities after we get through the houses. And it's also about inner security. So when we have that transit happening, your impact is your current home environment, any family dealings, and bringing attention to your core self, like your core emotions. So it's a good time to buy a house.
That makes sense.
It's a good time to buy a house. It's a good time to reorganize your house. It's a good time to deep clean your house. It's a good time honestly, it could be a really good time to marry, right? Like, to get married.
Yeah.
Yeah. For you personally, not for your significant other.
Well, yeah.
Because they might not have the same, which is rare. but it could also be a really good time to do some deep ancestral work. Because it's all about that. It's all about your roots. It's all about where you came from. Mm. And I bet if we look back whenever you first started your ancestral work, Saya, it was probably in your fourth house. Like, the sun was probably in your fourth house when you started.
Probably. Anyway, you count from your birth sign, like your sun sign, you count like, okay, birth sign is house one, and then the next.
No.
It's your rising.
Okay. Rising sign.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Rising sign is house one.
I understand.
And then you count from there.
Got it. That makes more sense because I was getting really confused.
So what's fun with that is, so my fourth house is in Aquarius.
And we are currently in Aquarius.
Which we're currently in Aquarius.
Oh, no, we are moving to Pisces. We should have actually moved to Pisces recently, like in the last day or two.
In the last couple days. The move was on the 18th.
Yeah, so we've recently moved to Pisces.
But when because I had deep cleaned and took everything out of my office and redid the office, it was in
Aquarius.
when I took a day off work, completely took everything out of this room and put it all back in.
Right.
So that explains where that energy came from.
Trying to find the list. Hang on.
Yeah.
Because I don't have them memorized.
The fourth house also rules self-care and intuition as well. So that's something to keep in mind. You're going to have that self-care intuition fatal.
So, 1, 2, 3. Oh, my fourth house is Aries.
Fourth house is Aries. So, because your rising is Sagittarius.
My fourth house is Pisces. Sorry. I counted.
So, we are going into your fourth house. Right now.
Which is great because I start a new job as soon as we enter.
All right, so the fifth house is the house of pleasure, personal creativity, romance, children, fun, interests, hobbies, all of that. Also sex, but like romance sex.
Yeah, not feral sex. Got it.
That's a different house.
So not fucking, but making love.
Making love, yes. Like relationships and like, you know.
I feel like I'm quoting La Haba.
Yes.
Very La Haba. They don't have sex. They make love. It's romantic. It's
maybe
artistic.
Maybe asexual of the group, just like.
As we're quoting a dead fire sprite.
Right. <Yeah. laughs> Your transits in the fifth house is going to impact your love currently, your hobbies, and your affection. And now love can be of the romantic, or it can be like platonic love. It could be love of a show. It could be love of a food. Like, it's love encompassing anything. So whenever the sun is in your fifth house, this is when you're probably going to like reevaluate your hobbies and maybe really try to get back into things that are fun for you, are really fun, like creativity and everything like that.
This also explains some things, because like, so I cleaned this one room. I really need to clean the rest of the apartment. Do I want to? No, I want to work on craft projects and like go to the museum. I don't want to work clean.
And so technically we did just move into your fifth house, right?
And we had just moved. So it makes sense why I'm like, and my cleaning energy is gone.
Yeah, and it's gone.
Yeah.
Funny. See here.
That's funny how that tracks.
Yeah. Right? All right. So the sixth house is our house of daily work and routines. It's ruled by Virgo, so obviously it's also one of your health houses, and it's your daily health, right? So it's your daily life, your work, like your job, not your career, but your job, like your day-to-day job, your health, the service that you do, your self-improvement, your well-being, your daily routines. When it's in your sixth house, this impacts your ability to work, to be productive, and how to tackle health issues. And so when it comes to the sun, when the sun is in your sixth house, it's going to light those areas up and be a real big focus for you. So you're going to maybe start a new workout routine, maybe start a new nutrition routine, maybe start a new job, maybe, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to be
actually go to that doctor's appointment that you've been putting off.
Yes. Actually go to those doctor's appointments. Start new routines. Like, you might start a new morning routine or a more new evening routine during six house transits. Why are you dying?
The last time the sun was in my sixth house, I was diagnosed with a blood clot that I thought was a pulled muscle, and then ended up in the emergency room because it's Taurus for me, which is also my moon. So
it was a very emotional time, which is fun because like the moon is very water and blood kind of follows water. So
so just the fact that like Taurus being ruled, or the sixth house being ruled by Virgo, but for me is Taurus, and it's all about to do with your health, like your self-well-being. And the last time this happened,
this tracks so much for you.
Are you starting to see how you could easily turn this around to being a usable part of your daily life?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I could be like, oh, like, I now that I know what house is where, I know that like, okay, I can expect some things potentially to happen in this part of my life. I'll be on the lookout for those items.
Yeah.
Or so this is where I need to focus. Yeah, that
makes this a lot is of where sense. You need to focus. This is where, like, so like, once you know where all of these things are, maybe you can plan like ahead, like certain things. Maybe you're working on a big project. Maybe you started in your fifth house, or maybe you start planning it while it's in your sixth house, because it can kind of help you plan things a little bit. So you can see where these could activate and help you in the long term, but also like back thinking, go, oh, that happened. That connects. That makes sense.
Yep, that tracks. But
even taking like the houses and what sign you have in that house, comparing it to your moon and being like, oh, so it was in that particular sign, which is in this house. And that's why the state of my apartment is why I got upset that day.
Exactly. Or
the fact that I hurt my knee is why I had a breakdown, because it was in my health house on that day.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So the story actually ties in my sixth and seventh houses, because it kind of bled into that. So I'm excited to learn what the next one is, just so I can see.
See how the story continues.
Your seventh house is the house of marriage and partnership. It is all about relationships, fairness, balance, your awareness of others.
Saya, are you okay?
I'm fine.
Sweetie?
I'm fine. It's fine. Don't worry about it. We're fine.
Do you want to tell the class?
No, just basically the class. When they diagnosed me. So again, this for me, my seventh house is in Gemini, which is May through June. They diagnosed the blood clot June 1st, height of my seventh house. My husband was with me, and I had a full-fledged mental breakdown in the middle of this ultrasound room, because of course I did, because blood clots are scary. And had never seen me in that kind of state. So marriage, partnership, a lot stronger, because I had like a forced breakdown in front of my spouse after 11 years of trying to keep it together and being brave and all that shit. Because
you're allowed to not be brave around him.
Well, yeah, but like the first time I had a blood clot, he wasn't in the room. It was just me and my mom. And like, it's actually noted in like my medical history that I was inconsolable, because I was 21 and I thought I was gonna lose my leg and or die. So
the fact that you're 21, it's crazy.
The fact that this happened at the peak of my seventh house, and the seventh house is related to marriage and Gemini for me, it's just kind of like, this is all big emotions that are going to directly affect your marriage and your relationship and how you view each other. So like, here you go.
Yeah, because when we're transiting the seventh house, it impacts who comes into your life, what you want and what you give in relationships currently. So it's really about, like, sometimes it'll just focus relationship and be like, okay, what am I, is my, like, it might make you think about your relationship a little bit. Yeah. Like, am I giving what I want? Am I getting what I want? Kind of thing. Yeah. So it, a lot of things can happen in that aspect. But it's also fairness and balance too. So think about that. Like, it's also all about fairness and balance. Which in a marriage, you should have fairness and balance.
Yeah. Fairness, yeah. Balance, marriage, Gemini. Yeah. It makes the doubles are there. They're doubling.
Yeah.
Your doubles are doubling?
Yeah. Forever.
So the eighth house. Your eighth house is the house of transformation, of shared resources, of sex, and I mean sex, death, letting go, regeneration, sharing, also the occult. Yeah.
Did you say death and the occult? Yes. And also and fucking?
Yeah.
It sounds like a really eighth house.
It's rich rituals.
Listen, so the eighth house is all about the taboo, right? So things that people are uncomfortable with, right? It's also ruled by Scorpio, which is ruled by Pluto. So can you make that connection there?
The connection that my brain made is that Hades is a kinky motherfucker.
Well, I mean, there's a connection.
There's a connection.
So I mean, he was one of my patron deities for a long time.
It's also a chronic illness house. So it's one of your health houses, and it activates chronic health issues. So oftentimes you can look towards your eighth house about anything that could be a chronic health issue. So like the sixth house is your like daily health, eighth house is chronic health, and then the 12th house is spiritual health and like mental health.
Gotcha. So if you have like a chronic illness, when the sun is in your eighth house, that's when you should like proactively seek doctor's appointments. You're more likely to have like a positive encounter.
It could help. Like it could be a positive encounter if you schedule appointments during that time. It could also help you seek like different sorts of like therapies to help and everything like that. It could also tell you what it could be if you do health astrology, which I'm not getting into health astrology because that's a whole nother ball
maybe
game, and it's a lot. But just know that like your eighth house, this is about all like it's depth, magic, shadows, it's transformation, it's fucking, it's death, it's letting go, it's regeneration, it's rebirth. That is your
eighth house. It seems like the main word there would be like release.
Kind of. The main
go ahead.
The main word for it is transformation. Like
okay, got it.
If we are looking at it, it is transformation. It can also rule shared resources as well. But if you think about it this way, if we look at it from first to eighth house so far, right? Mm-hmm. We start with ourselves. We start thinking, okay, what do we want? What do we need? Okay, how can I talk to others? Okay, where am I from? Okay, what makes me happy? Okay, how do I keep this going? Okay, I need somebody to partner with. Okay, we need to figure out how to share that. What's the weird? What's the release? What's the transformation? Right? Mm-hmm. Do you see it? How that like kind of goes through?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's fun. But when things are transiting your eighth house, it could often prompt a transformation of some sort. So you could see some sort of transformation. It could be good. It could be bad. It doesn't matter. It's a transformation in general. And you could see, like, if you look at what sign you're in, if you're looking at your own personal, like, self, like, journey, like, your life journey or whatever, the sign that your eighth house is in can help you figure out what your personal life transformations could be. Fun fact.
Love.
All right. The ninth house. Where do I have that note at? Okay, there it is. The ninth house, honestly, one of my favorites, and I think it's because I have a stellium in this house, but it is the house of expanded horizons. It is education, higher education. It is spirituality. It is travel. It is, like, exploration. It's adventure. It's wisdom. It's, like, philosophy, publishing, religion, travel, law, all of that. Like, it's that really in-depth, raw stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's really fun when you look back at certain things to see that, like, when the last house Pluto was in, like, the last sign Pluto was in, and that's all about transformation, it was in Capricorn, which is my ninth house. So that was really activated with Pluto, right? Transforming, because the entire time Pluto was in Capricorn was from graduation of high school to graduation of grad school. Damn. And a lot of spiritual discoveries. So it was really powerful transformation with Pluto. Now, when the sun is in that, that's going to be a real big focus for you. Like, you might feel like, so whenever it's in your ninth house, when the sun's in your ninth house, it might make you look at your beliefs. It might make you look about, how can I expand myself? What kind of learning can I do? What kind of teaching could I do? What kind of writing or speaking could I do? It's really about, like, where am I at? Is my beliefs what I want? Can I expand this somehow? Let's go on an adventure. The ninth house is the best time to go on, like, to travel for you.
Oh.
Like, well, nice. Because that is what it's about. It's about travel and learning and experiencing.
Sorry, again.
What's fun is I have Mercury in my ninth house.
Which is communication. Fun. Like, Mercury gets such a bad rap when it's not a bad planet. When Mercury is just in general in a house or whatever, it's your communication. It's how you communicate with the world. So Mercury is in your ninth house. So you communicate with the world spiritually. You communicate with the world in a higher space, right? That's how that works. Isn't that fun?
That is really cool. I like that saying.
Mine's also during Cancer season.
Think.
Cancer season's a great time to go on adventures.
Not for me, it's too hot.
Oh.
Mine's in Leo, so, like, yeah, it's hot.
Yeah, go somewhere cold. Go to Alaska. Like Adventure in Alaska.
No, thank you.
I'd be good with that.
The last thing my ass needs. I'll just blend into the snow with how pale I am.
Well, mine's in
that's a good thing.
Season, so it's middle of winter. All right. 10th house is your house of career. It is your house of reputation, of status, vocation, your purpose, like your soul's purpose. It can impact your ability to succeed in the goals you set. So it's also a goal house. It's also the house that represents your father. It's a father figure house. Because it's a very it's always been a very masculine house, where the fourth house is its opposite. Is a very feminine house because it rules home and family. You can see that, right? Like, I mean, general, that's how it was back in the day, and it hasn't really changed. So it's ambition, it's structure, it's accountability. So this is the house that whenever the sun is in your 10th house, you might feel like a renewal to figure out your career path, or maybe do better at work or something like that. We were just, Aquarius is my 10th house. So I was, like, really into work for a while, and now we're not, and I don't care about work anymore. And that kind of sucks for my kids.
That does kind of suck for the people.
Sucks
who are
for them. Because what's terrible is that we started planning this big art show in Aquarius season, which is my 10th house. And I was really pumped. We were getting it ready. It doesn't happen until March.
Oh, God.
And now you're just kind of over it.
And now yeah, I'm just like, done. Oh my god, can we just do something else? Can we just not do it anymore?
Yeah.
We maybe just not.
I don't think it's very father figure of you. I don't think that's
well, I'm no longer. But this is why I'm no longer in my 10th house. I'm now in my 11th house, which is so I'm currently in my 11th house, and this is the house of community. It's what you aspire. It's group contribution. It's friends. It's groups, goals, aspirations, social lives, dreams. It can impact your dreams, your ability to be yourself, push you outside of your comfort zone. It's.
So what you're saying is you're going to have your classes do all group projects.
I could, but the art show is a group project because it's the art club that's doing it, and I'm letting one of the art club president lead the whole thing. I'm just there to tell them like how to do stuff. But I did get them. Yeah. I'm so excited. I got them rainbow honor cords for graduation. Oh, they don't know it's a surprise.
So cute. Yeah. I love it.
They're amazing. I am so happy. Anyways. So we're also talking in the 11th house, revolution, community, and social justice. We're thinking, like, the 11th house is ruled by Aquarius, and Aquarius is all about, like, the rebel. The Aquarius is the rebel, right? So it's really, like, pushing that kind of stuff. So it really what I think of whenever you're in 11th house is really, like, maybe you'll be a little bit more attuned to your friends, a little bit more attuned to groups, maybe your goals, maybe... Maybe your social life starts getting picked up, which, fun fact, it does for me. I'm usually dead up until this point. If you notice, I kind of ghost until it's Pisces season. And that's why. Because I start feeling social again.
It's funny that you say that it's... Well, I guess it's not funny. It's just convenient. I don't know. It's a coincidence.
Interesting.
Interesting that this is Aquarius ruled, and that Aquarius is like... revolution and justice and social constructs and things like that, because my 11th house is in Libra, which is all about balance, which that also tracks that tracks big time. And let's see, what were we all doing last time the sun was in our 11th house? I personally was getting laid off and then rehired as an accountant or in a higher accounting position, which then set me up to be an actual accountant starting next month. So,
is it bad I honestly can't remember what I was doing then?
The last time the sun was in your 11th house? Yeah. Well, the sun is currently in my 11th house, so it was a year
You're
ago.
You're doing this.
I'm doing this.
Mine's I'm communicating. In Virgo, so.
I'm building a community, guys.
In last August, Rowan, you were getting married.
No.
It was in Virgo.
October.
Oh, that's right. I was thinking September.
Because
her
11th house is a different sign than your 11th house.
Sorry, so. I was thinking October. My brain.
All right. So
Please
now
go back through the chat.
We get to the final Probably. One, and that is the 12th house. This is the house of inner self. Mental health. It is the house of transcendence, of spirituality, release, becoming one, the unconscious self. This is a house that you would tend to really like sink into yourself. Okay, so like when you are in your 12th house, this is the time that you're going to be really focused on turning inward. And this is like the gear up to go back into your first house, right? Because the first house is the house of self. So the journey of the year, basically, because this is your journey through the year, each of these houses. So the end of it is kind of pulling back, thinking about what you've learned, what you've done, and releasing what doesn't need to be in your life anymore. Really thinking about those dreams and what you could do when you move back into your first house, right? So, and again, it's the mental health house. So it's a good time that if you're wanting to take care of your mental health, it's a great time for that. If you're doing shadow work, this house and the eighth house, perfect houses for shadow work. Because those both explore those dark areas of your life, Okay. So they're also considered dark houses. There's a couple other ones. Let's see here.
Mine comes out a great going? Time.
When is it?
Mine is Libra. So October.
Yeah. You're just one behind me. Mine's in Scorpio. So
just one behind you.
Yeah. But so like it's big spooky season because Scorpio, and then it's pre the holiday season, which is like the worst time frame for me.
Feel that.
Yeah. But like I've always associated the Scorpio season with like shadow work, which it being my 11th house makes total sense.
12th house, yeah.
I'm sorry, yeah. My notes are too small.
Scorpio also rules shadow work too. So like and so you having Scorpio in your 12th house kind of really pushes it because it's like double, because it's ruled by Pisces, which is a water sign. Scorpio is also a water sign. So it's a really influx of water for you for that. And what it would be a combining of the energies of Scorpio and Pisces for you. So that's how you would, so that's why I say what's ruled, right? Because what happens when you are in specific houses, because it is very rare that your houses match up with the actual rulerships. It's rare. Like your rising would have to be in Aries. Like that's just right. Mine's one off because my rising's in Taurus. So I am literally one off from everything, which kind of bothers me.
Of course.
Like it kind of bothers me because my 12th house is Aries season and that feels very contradictive. But I am also very contradictive because of axis.
Saying it's fitting.
It's kind of fitting. So 12th house, it's a dark house. It can also kind of work with self-sabotage too in the dark aspect of it. But it's all rest, retreat, sleep, dreams, secrets, hidden strengths. Each house is not all of them. So like the second, sixth, and 10th houses are career houses. So they all have to do with jobs or careers. The third, 7th, and 11th are social houses because they have to do with communication and social, like social interactions in some way, shape, or form. Then the 6th, 8th, and 12th are all dark houses because they have to do with some sort of pain. Because house 6, when it comes to the dark house of it, it's physical pain and illness. And then with the 8th house, the 8th house is emotional pain and fear. And then the 12th house is subconscious pain and belief systems. I got those a little backwards, but that's what you're seeing there. So something I also said was the axes, right? The back and forth, the opposites. So your 1st and 7th house are opposite, okay? One way to think about this is, like, say if the moon is in your 1st house, but the sun is in the 7th house, that's going to be a full moon. Isn't that fun? Because it's opposite?
I'm not sure if it's fun.
But it's interesting.
That's interesting and neat.
Let's just say, so the 1st and 7th house is the axis of relationships. It is the axis of a relationship between yourself and others. Right? Self and then marriage. That's your relationship axis. The 2nd and 8th house is the axis of money and resources. Again, 2nd's all about money and everything like that. And the 8th house does include shared resources. So, and also values in much different ways. So that's kind of like your axis of money, resources, values kind of figure. Your third and ninth axis, your third and ninth houses is the axis of communication and activity. Again, like third house is all about that communication process, and it's also learning. Like there's learning involved in the third house, and the ninth house is that higher education, spirituality, activity, travel. The fourth and tenth houses is that mother father house. It's the axis of foundation. So some people, if you're doing like karmic astrology and like trying to learn about like your karmic self or even like self-healing, if you look towards your fourth house and work through like therapies through your fourth house, you can figure out how your mom fucked you up. And if you work through the 10th house, you can figure out how your dad fucked you up, basically.
I don't need the stars to tell me that.
It can give you insight in that way. Yeah. It can give you insight about how to heal from it.
That's basically the one.
Yeah.
So I know
that's, that's your foundation, right? Mom, dad, foundation. Yeah. Your home and your career, your foundation.
Got right? it.
Fourth house is home, 10th house is career, foundation. Because you can't have, like, you need both. Fifth and 11th is the axis of connection. So the 11th house is groups and social, like, friends, stuff like that. And the fifth house is about what you love and what you like to do. So, like that.
Networking.
And then the sixth and 12th house is the axis of service. So, sixth house is about your daily rituals, routines, right? 12th house is about your inner workings, your mental health, like all of that. And how could you service someone? Like, how can you be of service if these aren't balanced? That's the idea.
Sorry, taking notes.
No, you're fine.
It's because, again, new phone, don't have my file. Somebody didn't send it to me. Again,
I'll have
my
to request. Send it. Listen, my phone is being fucky. Okay. It's
fine. Don't worry about it. Oh my God, were you guys affected by the outage the other day?
No, I have US Cellular.
So what's funny is like I wasn't, but other people I worked with were. But I also have AT&T, so I was like, why am I fine, but all of you aren't?
No.
I don't understand.
Like, everyone down here was, like, freaking out. So, like, my husband and I, every morning, because we leave about the same time, we call each other on the phone during our drives to work, because we are sleepers, and we like to sleep in until the last possible minute.
Me too.
So that we have like 20 minutes to get ready and leave. And then I do my makeup in the car in the parking lot when I get to work. Anyway. So I'm like driving to work and I'm like, why isn't my husband calling me? What's going on? And then I look at my phone and it says SOS at the top. And I'm like, OM effing geez. Did I forget to pay the bill? And I'm like trying to log on to like my AT&T and I'm like, I don't have any service. Of course, I need Wi-Fi. Like freaking out, like hardcore freaking out. So I get to work and I'm like trying to log onto the Wi-Fi and it's asking me to like log in and all this other stupid shit. And I'm like, oh my God. So I'm like putting my lunchbox up and the like maintenance guy is in there. And I'm like, hey, do you know how to log onto the Wi-Fi by any chance? And he was like, are you having cell phone troubles? And I'm like, yes, I am. How did you know? And he was like, I was on the radio this morning. There's a like nationwide outage. Do you have AT&T and an iPhone? I was like, I do. He's like, yeah, those are the main proponents of what you need to be affected by this outage. Yeah, it was on the radio. And I was like, radio. I should have turned it on. Had I known that I did that, it wasn't bill related, you know, I would have turned on the radio. You know, whatever. And then like,
see, I kind of wonder if part of why I didn't get affected is, so I do have an iPhone, but I have an old iPhone. I have one that still has a button at the bottom.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that's part of why I was okay. Because I know the coworkers that I have iPhones have the newer ones where they don't have the home button.
Yeah, I have a new one.
But I still...
The crazy thing is...
Because I have an 8, so I still have a button.
Yeah. The crazy thing is that the maintenance guy, he was like, yeah, I lost service for like an hour, but it came back. So I think it's just trickling in. I lost service at like 6 o'clock. I'm like, okay, cool. This is 7 a.m. when we're having this conversation. I was like, okay, cool. I will expect my service to be coming back shortly. No. I did not get service until afternoon. I was out of, I connected to the Wi-Fi finally, but I was living in the 90s for 5 hours.
Oh no, back to the 90s.
Yeah. Oh no, I can only communicate through Wi-Fi. Whoops.
So
Wi-Fi didn't even exist in the 90s.
I need a wired phone.
I wasn't affected, but half of my students were.
Oh,
and it was chaos. Funny. It was pure chaos. I can't use my phone. I'm dying. Well, you don't need it anyways. Put it in the caddy. You're not allowed to have it out anyways. Who cares? If you want music, I'll play my music.
Mm-hmm. But now I can't text my friends in class. I can't
secretly Snapchat.
Yep. Oh, no, it's Be Real. They use Snapchat, but it's mostly Be Real. So when you take a Be Real, it takes a photo of with the front camera and the back camera at the same time.
Ew.
Why?
And so when it first came out, what the kids would do, they would act like they're taking a Snapchat of themselves, but they'd have the teacher, in the front camera. And they would take those Be Reels and everything. And I hadn't seen anybody doing that, right? And then one of my upperclassmen was like, this is what this is if you see the kids doing this. So anytime I saw a camera facing me, I'd pull up a paper that says, get to work, in front of my face.
Oh, that's good.
Nice. So they never got me with the B-reel because I always had a piece of paper with me that said, get back to work.
Nice.
That's funny.
They're like, we can't get you with this. And I said, you're not supposed to be taking pictures of your teachers anyways. It's kind of illegal.
Yeah.
So, back to work. Anyways.
You just need, a picture of Benson on it as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I need to make that now.
Yeah, you do.
The best. Anyways.
Yeah, that was, the worst because my computer at work has, an authenticator app that sends you a code to your phone through an application that you have to then confirm, but the app didn't work because I didn't have any Wi-Fi or any service, so I couldn't log into my computer to get to work.
That's problematic.
Yeah, it was rough.
I understand companies doing that to a degree because I understand how the people that like to hack are assholes, and this does top that, but then there's situations like this, and it's like, well, none of my workers can actually work because they can't access their phones.
Had a little badge, so I was getting paid to just sit there and fuck off on Wi-Fi.
See, what's bad is, I don't work there anymore, but one of the places I used to work to log in for the day, you had to be on their Wi-Fi, and you had to log in through an app.
Yeah, that's...
So, if you can't log in through an app, and it wasn't so much, having to be on their Wi-Fi so much as it was, tracking you via your phone's GPS to make sure that you were actually on site.
Jesus.
So you could only log in if you were actually on site, so you couldn't, log in from home or whatever.
That's fair, I guess, but, sus as shit.
But everybody had to always do it on the Wi-Fi, because you couldn't, for whatever reason, service on that hill was really shitty.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter what service you had, the service was awful.
So, where is this, what are we doing astrologically coming up? Anything fun? Interesting? New? Any comets that we need to know about?
Well, this is in April, but the solar eclipse is in April, and there's a lunar eclipse in April as well. But that's...
The path for totality in April, right?
Yeah, we are. I'm excited.
Are you going to make your kids go out with the glasses?
I think it's on a Sunday.
Oh, well. Get yourself a cereal box, press it against your eyeball.
Well, if it is during the school day, then they'll probably let us go out to the football field or something. I can't imagine they will make us sit inside during that. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Why not?
Just watch it be cloudy so that we can't actually see it anyway.
Watch it rain. That would be a thunderstorm.
I feel like that would just be my luck.
Yeah. Well, like, there was one here a few years ago, and it was like super cloudy. Yeah, just whip out the calendar, friend.
Well, off the top of my head, I can't think of anything, but let's see here. This episode goes up on the 2nd of March, and then we won't have the next episode until the 16th of March. So we're looking at from now until, so we're looking at like the beginning of March. So we'll still be in Pisces season, obviously. So we're in Pisces season until the 20th of March. Let's see here. Got the new moon in Pisces on the 10th of March. And then we're current snow moon is today, like the full moon in Virgo is today, the 24th of February. Let's see here. Anything else big? I do not know off the top of my head because it is not in this planner and I don't know where.
So we're in currently in Pisces season, right?
Yeah.
Which is my fourth house, which is home and family. Inner security, ruled by Cancer. Seems like it'd be a good time to, like, I don't know, get my house in order.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh,
I get really, like, organize-y whenever the sun's in my fourth house.
It would be an excellent time to take a week off from work and do things around my house, which is what I'm doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, this was just, like the houses and how they would be activated is the same for any transit, not just the sun, right? We're primarily focusing on the sun because it moves, like, every month, and it is the same every month, right? Like, every year it is the same rotation. And so you see the same things coming up at the same time of the year, every year. And what's really fun, I did this like weird little, took me forever, but it was kind of fun, probably only fun to me. I took out my planners from, I think I have my planners from like 2018 until like 2023. I took all of them out. And I went through. And I looked at what was going on in my life during each season in each of those years to see what my energy levels were like. And guess what? Every April had nothing in it. Every single one of my planners, April is empty because I didn't feel like doing anything. Which that's is interesting. Hilarious. Right?
That's a
what
cycle.
What do you have going on then?
So like April is... Hold on. April is when the sun moves into my rising sign, right? So, so in Aries season is my 12th house, and that is like that inner self time, which is end of March, beginning of April. The only time I had anything in my planner in any of those years was the last week of April, which is when my first house was activated.
That's pretty interesting. I'm not gonna lie. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. So I thought that was really cool because I physically could not sit down and enjoy my planner. Like I just physically could not do it. Mentally, like there, it just wasn't there. And it was hilarious that every single year, it was either completely blank or future Kara went back and added photos from that time on those days with a little note. Because I had to go back through text messages and my photo reels and Instagram and everything just to figure out what was I doing during that time? Because obviously, I don't remember.
Yeah.
Was I and what was I doing?
Yeah. So, like, I have, like, in a few of them, like, I have a couple of pictures here or there. And I'll be like, oh, wait, no, I remember doing that. I know. I remember doing that, but, like... I didn't write it down, obviously.
Yeah.
Sorry, my legs are getting stiff. I get it. It's what this is. It's my, when you get it.
So, I thought it was really interesting to go back from that far until, like, most recent and look at each sign and to, like, see my energy level and everything, because it was a pattern. There was a pattern. I can see, obviously, I don't have mental energy during the beginning part of April, obviously.
Yeah.
Because I never did anything. Like, I never put anything in there. I could see that I had the highest points at a certain time, like, that had a bunch of stuff in my planner. Like, I could see that, right? Yeah. So that gave me the opportunity to see, okay, well, I know for the future that when we're going into this season, I can expect to be down a lot more, or I can expect to be up a lot more. And that was a really fun thing to look back on for me. And it actually really helped me because I didn't have to, like, start my tracking now. I could, like, because I had, unbeknownst to me in the past, done all
already
that
been
tracking.
Doing it.
Yeah. I'd already been doing it without thinking about it in the astrological sense, because I wasn't back then. I was just putting things in my planner and enjoying my planner, right? Like, and tracking my
being
my
a
emotions.
Planner
and my
girl.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
doing the whole planner
what it was.
Thing.
Like, if it was like an on point spread with like so many stickers and stuff, I knew I was having a good day or a good week or a good sign. If it was like a couple of little sparse pictures here or there, or it looked like I'd started the spread but never finished it out, like, I could see that, and it was really cool. Like, it was really fun. The most fun one was the during COVID, because like I was pregnant, I had nothing else to do, so that's all I did was my plan. So that year was the only year that April had anything in it, because I had nothing else to do.
Because I couldn't work, was pregnant.
Yep. Couldn't go outside. Couldn't do anything else. That was the only thing I could do.
Might as well planner.
Right? That was the only year that I had anything in April.
Planner
and
read.
Fascinating. Yeah. It's just fascinating to look back on that stuff. So, like, if you're wanting to kind of get an idea of, like, for the future and everything like that, you could do that. You could look in, like, past years. What was I feeling in those times? What was, like, the overall consensus during that time of the year for me that I can expect to feel that same way? You probably aren't a avid planner girl like I am and have the last 5 or 6 years worth of planners to look back on. But if you do... If you are like me and you're a crazy person and have all those,
I only have
there,
like two old planners.
But I mean, if you filled them out like enough to see, like, it could still give you some insight, even if it's just like one or two.
See, the main one that I have that is really well filled out and everything is the one from our capstone semester.
Same. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't even know what
absolutely
happened to this.
Mine is in a landfill somewhere.
I don't know what happened to all of my school planners. I don't know. I know all of my, like, teacher planners are at work. Like, previous year's teacher planners, they just go in a filing cabinet so I can pull them out if I need, like, notes or something. But
yeah,
all of my
sense.
Personal, like, everyday ones, I have, like, a shelf right behind me that has them in, like, special little boxes.
Ooh, nice.
Three. So fancy.
Mm-hmm. My headphones died.
Love that.
I even have, like, the years on them.
Aw.
Cute.
This one's a chunky bitch.
Jesus.
Look at that. Look how chunky that
Jesus.
Is. Like.
What year is that?
This is... 2018 into 2019.
Ah, nice.
You know why this? I think this is so chunky. I don't think this is it. This is the one of my wedding. So a lot of this stuff has like wedding stuff in it.
Oh, gotcha.
That makes sense.
Let's see here. But here's an example. Here's April. One picture.
Oh, dang.
Jesus.
One picture.
I can't show mine.
Yeah.
The weeks of the gallery shows.
Oh, nice.
And then here's what's like funny is, all right, so those are the weeks in April that there was nothing in, but here's the after it changed into forest season.
Oh, that's funny.
See?
Yeah.
Like nothing, and then it changes into tourist season, and I'm back at it. Oh, this was the one that I did for the week of Rowan's birthday that year.
Oh, look how cute.
Cute.
All the moons that.
Yeah, so back in the day, I would pick spreads depending on like what was going on for the week. So like that one was, I bought it specifically for Rowan's birthday week.
Aww. That's so cute.
Yeah. Like, this was like my, this is when I first started working at the school.
Oh, that's sweet.
So the only other planner I have is the one that Kara had gotten me. Which I did really well on until September. In September, I start to fall off the wagon.
This is the only planner I have right now. And it's to track my running.
I don't have a planner right now.
Yeah.
I have one. I have been, surprisingly, I have not touched my planner. And I know, like, that's crazy that I do. Oh, see, that's okay. Cute.
Apparently the year that Kara had gotten us planners was also the year that I had done None to Run.
That's funny. That's very funny. Yeah, no, I didn't get to do it yesterday. I'm a day off of my running, which means today's run is gonna suck.
Dun, 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 dun.
Running for 2 minutes, that's the easy part. It's the 30-second break in between the runs that's the hard part. It's not long enough.
That's fair.
I need at least a minute, but...
I mean, you could always go back to, like, the previous week and just redo the previous week again.
That's true.
To help, like, build stamina.
Yeah. It's endurance training. It's supposed to be hard. If it was easy, everyone would do it.
Yeah.
You know. It's where I'm at with my life. It's adorable.
The week that I went to visit Rowan.
Aww.
Picture. Cause that was at the art festival.
Yeah. So like it's really fun to look back on those things. Like not only is it like it's a memory keeper, right?
Where did I put that box?
Not only is it a memory keeper, but also like it's really cool to like look back on all that stuff. And I spent so much money on all of those, like, the stickers and stuff. I'm not throwing these away. Like, this book, this book alone is probably $1,000 worth of stuff. Like,
just the planner itself was
60. Like, the planner itself was 60. Stickers range from, like, $10 to $12 a pack. Like.
Nice.
The year in pixels, definitely you can see where I was falling off the wagon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is it's so fun to look back on that stuff. And if you're just starting this and you're wanting to start this and you're wanting to do this, take the time to track this stuff, track your energy. It can just be a simple up or down or like slash for like in the middle. Like it literally can just be that simple. And then you can go back through the next year and see that and see if this happens again. And same thing with the moon cycle, same thing. The moon transits are going to be more focused on your emotion, but it's also the house that it's in. That is where you're going to be affected emotionally for those 2.5 days. Does that make sense? So you're going to, so every day, like every month of the year, you're going to feel the effects of each of your houses because the moon moves through each of your houses every month. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But one is going to be at the forefront of your mind because the sun is shining that light.
That makes sense.
And the moon is just highlighting those emotional cues for those things each month. So it's fun. And you could get further into it and you could see how Mercury's transits could affect you. You could see how Venus's transits could affect you. Mars. Those are your personal planets. Mercury, mm-hmm. Venus, and Mars. Those are the ones that are going to affect you the most. So if you wanted to, you could. I think if you're just starting out, sun and moon. Or choose one or the other. Like, do you want to just do the moon or do you just want to do the sun? Like, don't try to grab more than you can at the beginning, right? But it is nice to know where your houses are, especially for when Mercury retrograde inevitably comes around, because it comes around 3 times a year, around the same time, every year. So, like, it's an inevitable thing, but it's not always going to be in the same house every year, right? Because it retrogrades different houses each time, or different signs each time. So it would be beneficial to know where Mercury is retrograding so you could see where you're going to have that kind of, not setback, but that reflection time in. Because Mercury's retrograde isn't about setbacks or making your life miserable. It's about telling you that you need to step back and reflect on these, like, themes, if that makes sense.
It does.
I will eventually, like, completely ruin the stigma of Mercury retrograde for everybody, because I hate it. Mercury gets such a bad rap because it happens so much more, like, it changes so much more frequently when we spend half the year in a Pluto retrograde, like, and nobody notices because we spend over half of our life in a Pluto retrograde. Like, like, so, and I would feel like Pluto retrograde would be much more, you know, effective, but it's not, because it happens, we're used to it. We feel the effect of Mercury more because we're not as used to it. It's just how it is.
Yeah.
From you kind of bringing it up now, I'm looking at this pixel thing from this 1 year, and I'm like, okay. Just based off this, and knowing when I fall off the wagon with doing planners, it's like end of September into October, which is my 11th house going into 12th house.
Yeah.
But then I don't pick it back up again because my first and second houses are right at the holidays, so things are going nuts just in general in the world because it's Scorpio being my first.
Yep.
There's just too many other things going on, so I can't get back to this.
Yeah.
So it has nothing to do with, like, me, and, like, it's just, there's too many other things to focus on to be able to focus on that.
Yeah. And it's crazy to, like, look back at that stuff. Like,
so it's like, I fall off the wagon on planning and shit when I'm entering my 12th house, and the 12th house, I just can't plan shit.
Yep, I'm the same way. Like, when I'm in my 12th house, apparently, and I never knew it until I started looking at it backwards to see how each of my houses affected me. And apparently, beginning of April, end of March, I can't do shit. never. Like,
it just doesn't happen.
It just doesn't happen.
I just got an alert that Brooklyn Nine-Nine is coming to Netflix, and I'm pretty excited. Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Right. Well, I'm trying to stretch out my legs, so if you, like, if you look over here, I'm stretching. Like, my legs are really stiff today. I haven't done a whole lot, and then sitting in a desk chair, like, that basically cuts you at your knees.
Yeah.
When you have a clotting disorder, it hurts.
Yeah. Well, so that's kind of like all that I had. Do you guys have any more questions about living astrologically?
No, I think this was a really good intro, and like going through each house and what it was, and then like also looking at where mine are. I think that's a really good start to living astrologically. So Yeah. What we're going to call that? Yep.
Living astrologically, yeah.
An intro.
Astrological living.
Yeah. An intro to living astrologically.
Yeah. Intro to astrological living.
There you go.
Yeah.
101.
However you want to phrase it. It was great.
Astrological living 101. Since we're talking
astro
about
101. Intro to astro. Worth half a credit.
It's worth half a credit.
Oof. A credit.
I can only imagine what the full credit would be.
It would be all of the comments as well. We can go over this. And the other planets.
It would be a lot. There's a lot. Like, that's just like the start, like, of it. And that's just one facet of the start of it too. Cause like most people when they start astrology, they just look at their own personal charts. They don't look at the transits, right? Yeah. Like they just focus on their personal charts and learn that, which is good. That's a good thing to do. And it does help you with the transits a lot more because then you can understand that, okay, well, in the seventh house, I also have my Mars, my Sun, and my Pluto. And so when the Sun is in my seventh house, which is Scorpio, I'm going to have all of those activated too. So all of those energies are going to activate together, right? That's a lot.
Yeah.
Right? That's a lot to think about. But if you're just starting and you just want to know how the sun's going to affect you or how the moon's going to affect you on a base level,
yeah,
that's all you need to know is your houses. Like, what sign is your house? Like, what house is each sign or whatever? Once you get comfortable with that and that becomes, like, kind of a second nature, then you add on your own planets and how they interact with those. Because, like, it's a little different.
Yeah. Learn the base recipe first.
Absolutely.
And then sprinkle in your secret recipe. You know what I mean?
And then add the transits from Mercury and Venus and Mars, you know, like that's the gold leafing on, you know, ooh, the meal, right? Like that final like thing.
Yeah.
The caviar and
the caviar gold and leaf. Everything like that. Right. And like some people get really like really into it. They follow the asteroids, transits, and everything like that. Like, and those are like full-time astrologers. They know how the asteroids moving is going to affect you and how all of this is going to affect you or them personally. And that's a lot. It's a lot to think about.
Yeah. I think that's a lot for anybody.
It's a lot to think about. But if you're just starting, just understanding your houses and what season each house is, so that you know when the sun is in that season, those are the areas that you should focus on, that you'll see those areas focused on. And then with the moon, same thing. If you're just starting with the moon, it's always, always recommended if you're just starting with the moon to just focus on new and full moon, like what's going on at the new and full moon. And then add in like the first and last quarter, and then add in the crescents and the gibbous, right? That's the general rule of thumb, because if you try to do all of it at once, again, you're going to get overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Like, but if you start with those, like the new and full moon, those are the easiest ones to start with. Those are the big ones, right?
Yeah.
It's the start and like the middle of a lunar cycle.
Ow.
All right, we good?
Yeah.
Good show.
Yeah, excellent.
Good talk.
It was
follow us on all the things.
It was really interesting. It was really informative. I feel like I've taken a lot away. It's interesting to like look back last year and see what I was doing, what my houses were, and like connecting a bunch of things. That was really fun. I really enjoyed that. Hopefully everyone else enjoyed us connecting things as well.
It's fun. People who say astrology doesn't help you in real life.
Please.
People doing it right.
Right? Yeah, no, because they're just reading horoscopes online. Which are for your rising signs, by the way. The horoscopes that you see online, not for your sun sign, is for your rising sign. They are written for the rising sign because it follows the house systems of that rising sign.
Yeah.
So if you're reading a horoscope for like the full moon in Virgo today, you look for your rising sign and it is written for the house that Virgo is in for you. That's how it works. It is not written for your sun sign.
Okay. I'll go look at mine.
Good to know.
You can read your sun sign too, because it could give you a little bit of information, but it's mostly going to hit hard with your rising sign. So if you take away anything, at least take that away and stop reading your sun sign's horoscope.
Because it's not going to hit accurately.
Yeah.
It's probably why my horoscopes don't make sense half the time, because I'm reading the wrong one.
Exactly. Anyway.
Okay. All right. Well, there's that. If you liked what you listened to today, you could go ahead and subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. You could also like us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and now even Twitter, which I never thought we'd say, but we are on all the social medias. So you can find us wherever.
It's X.
Oh, sorry. The social media platform formerly known as Twitter.
There we go.
Can we just call it
Twix? Introducing it like Prince, the Twix. Artist formerly known as.
Can we just call it Twix?
Oh, no. I don't.
I like it.
I like it.
Are you left or right, Twix?
Left.
I am both at the same time.
Rude.
I am a walrus.
I'm left-handed, so everything is left first.
So,
anyways.
That being said, we hope to see you guys in the next one. Or hear you guys in the next one. I'm not sure how to say that one, but, you know, we'll see you in the next
one. We hope that you join us in the next one.
That's the one.
Yes.
That'll be the first of the spring season episodes. I'm pretty sure it'll be the spring equinox.
Hell yeah.
It'll be all about spring equinox.
That is exciting. You know what I'm going to do for research? I'm going to watch Midsommar for research. For research purposes.
For research purposes.
Sure.
Watch a movie about a cult.
I mean... Anyway, all right. I'm going to go.
Thanks for tuning in to the Witchy Spellcast. We hope you enjoyed this mystical journey with us. If you've been bewitched by our show, don't forget to subscribe and leave a rating or review. It helps us spread the magic to more listeners. Remember, the power of the craft is always with you. Keep those cauldrons bubbling, wands at the ready, and may your spells always find their mark. Until next time, blessed be.